Like to call to order a special session of the Oak Ridge Board of Education. This begins the board's budget deliberations in earnest. Our budget preparation has been going on probably continuously since we stopped last year, I would imagine. Tonight is the superintendent's presentation of an overview of the budget, and then we will be back, the board will be back Wednesday at 5:30 for a work session on the budget at that time. I would encourage members of the board between now and then, if you have additional questions that you've thought of and would like to go ahead and submit those to the superintendent in advance, please do so. And we'll move forward on Wednesday. I appreciate council members Callison, Smith, Hope, and Hammond for being here. I know you all have a meeting as well tonight, but we appreciate you taking your time being here with us. One of the things I know I can safely say that the work that this board does and the work that city council does in the cooperation and working together is at its highest level, and we appreciate your willingness to work with us as we work to provide the best education we can for our students in Oak Ridge and to give them the opportunities to advance on after graduation from high school. You'll notice that we do have one absent board member tonight. Ms. McLean is in California visiting her daughter, who she hasn't seen, like many of us haven't seen members of our family, but are beginning to do that. So we wish her safe travels until she returns. So with that said, Dr. Borchers, I'll turn it over to you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And we'll go ahead and get started. We've got quite a few slides, but we're going to try to move through as quickly as we can. I'm going to give a brief introduction and overview of the academic piece of kind of why we're here, why we do what we do, and then Ms. Pat Smith and Mr. Bruce Lay will have some slides, and then I'll come back at the end of the presentation. And I'll add also that the council, we've sent you the budget and the PowerPoint, so we'll go through quickly, but you'll have it so you can look through it in more detail after tonight. So very quickly, I just want to review. You've heard us talk a lot about the seven keys to college and career readiness. We're very excited about the success that we've had with this initiative, and you can see here prior to everything kind of changing for us, we ended up in 2019 going from 72.7% to 94.46%. And when I look at that slide, I really look at the number of kids that are winning, that are attaining the keys, the seven keys in particular, and just some great increases there over time. And just want to thank staff and the board for their focus. And as the board knows, that work earned us the Tennessee School Board Association Award of Excellence. And our state recognized the good work that we were doing, and we were very happy about what we were able to attain. But in true Oak Ridge fashion, we're moving forward and focusing on continuous improvement, and our focus now has been on what we're calling the portrait of an Oak Ridge Schools graduate. Lots and lots of work have been done thus far. We're trying to pull together our Oak Ridge 2020 strategic plan, as well as our keys to college and career readiness, and we believe we have a great product now that will focus on these things that you're seeing on screen. So we still are going to have a lot of primary focus of college and career readiness and success indicators. You're going to see those key performance indicators of the key sevens within the portrait. But what I'm very happy to share here is the second part of life-ready success indicators. So we're going to be measuring those skills and traits that our students need to be able to persevere and after they leave us, and to be successful after they leave us. So the board has seen this, but you're going to continue to see how we brand this initiative. And this is our overall portrait of a graduate theme. And then this breaks it out a little bit farther into some different other areas. You have college and career readiness, the four C's, career options, digital citizenship, and then life readiness skills. A lot of energy around this. And I think what makes this different than some other districts in the state of Tennessee that have attempted this portrait portrait work, excuse me, is that we're building this from the preschool all the way through the high school. So we're going to have a continuous framework of continuous improvement from pre-K all the way to 12. Most of the time when you Google portrait of a graduate, they're focused just on the high school, and we took this a little bit deeper, and we think it's going to pay dividends for us. So that's our focus and why we're here, and now this budget and alignment has to be done in order to carry out some of these initiatives. So I'm going to go ahead and pass this over to Ms. Smith and let her take us through some of the numbers.
Good evening. We do have a lot of slides, like Dr. Borcher says, but we will just do a high-level overview if we go through. What we wanted to do with our budget, first of all, was to do a high-level overview of where we've been, where we are, and where we're going. In the previous year, in FY20, it was an unprecedented year where our schools closed March 20th. We implemented a spending freeze, a hiring freeze, and that did result in fund balance that we knew we would add and be able to use for FY21 for contingency for COVID. And currently, where we are in FY21, our department expenditure budget requests were cut because of planning for any contingencies with COVID. Currently, our revenues, we have not seen the decrease in sales and property tax that we did anticipate. Our revenues were cut at the beginning of the year by the state by $250,000 because of COVID, took out the 2% that they had planned. Oak Ridge Schools did stay with the 1% that we did implement for all staff last year. Where we're headed for FY22, the successes, we learned a lot new tools for working remotely. Both teachers, staff, business office, everything ran seamlessly. We purchased teacher replacement devices using budget savings in FY21. And stimulus funding received in 21 relieved the stress on our budget for providing student replacement devices in grades 5 through 12. We were looking at doing a computer lease, which would have meant a $500,000 per year cost to the district for the next 4 years. So our challenges are to continue providing staffing to address student learning loss and their social emotional learning. And our budget planning, we're planning for a quote normal year. but again, it's a little more predictable environment, but it's still not normal. And as you see, as we go through, we have a lot of changes with ESSER 1, 2, and 3. And our budget goals, excuse me, we are focused on the opportunities that will improve and enhance the district's portrait of a graduate that Dr. Borcher's reviewed, and also focusing on aligning our resources with our student success and maintain an effective strategy for cohesive operation regardless of what comes. Our 22 budget development, we did begin almost as soon as the 21 budget was approved with the 22 work starting last fall. We looked at our instructional and budget goals, did a salary and analysis and evaluations, and then our estimated state funding from BEP. We received it last Tuesday afternoon, I believe, about 5 o'clock, so it was a little later this year. We have received our enrollment numbers for Anderson and Roane County. We used all of those along with our current revenue trends and fund balances to come up with our proposed 22 budget. Our overall budget or proposed budget for 22 is $77,006,178. FY22, as you can see, is a little different than past years. Because of the ESSER funding, our federal programs are at 16% of our budget for FY22. Normally in the past, they've been 3 to 4% of our total budget, very small amount. So the general fund is 80%. The major revenue assumptions that we used were our tax estimates, as I said, based on current revenues. Also, our enrollment decreased by 133 students in Anderson County and increased by 14 students in Roane County. That will have a small impact on our budget, but very minimal. Our BEP funding that we received from the state is 2.5% over the FY21 amount. It's important to point out that the state implemented a hold harmless program for FY22 so that our loss in students did not impact our funding. Without that hold harmless agreement, we would be $600,000 less than what we received. So that's important for us to keep in mind as we keep going forward. We are budgeting based on city allocations as we've had in the past, same as FY21 funding. And we're going to plan use of fund balances, and we will closely monitor all revenues and expenditures as we go forward and make any adjustments as they come up. This just gives us an overview again of the increases and decreases in the budgeted funds, the general fund and federal funds for FY22. The general fund is only increasing 0.18% over our final amended budget in 21. Our 21 budget increased because of additional revenues, even in the general fund. We received additional funding for our summer learning camps. The state provided $191,000 that we received and were able to give staff bonuses this year. And then we've also, in the general fund, had decreases in some of our revolving account revenue streams. Our interest rates, we're budgeting about $100,000 less than we did in FY21. Interest rates have gone down from about 1.6% in FY20 to last month, they were 0.02%. The federal funds is an overall increase over the 21 amended budget of 51%. And that is considering the fact that even with the FY21 amended, the federal grant is doubled that we're getting approved tonight. This next slide gives us an overview of the BEP funding percent year over year, that the actual percentage increase. It peaked in 2018, has gone down for several years, and it did slightly increase this year by 2.5%. You'll be able to find this slide and see it a little clearer in the actual budget document, but it highlights the 22 general fund proposed budget compared to FY21. And as I alluded to earlier, you can see the decreases in the supplies and materials, other uses and capital outlays. That's the textbooks, the contingency for COVID, student and staff devices. All of those have been reduced this year because they've already been purchased or ESSER funding will be used for those items. Our major expenditure assumptions are all eligible employees will receive an experience step increase, a 1% COLA increase for all staff. Based on the information we have from the state, we will have a 1.25 increase in health insurance costs, but the district did not receive any cost additionally for life, dental, and vision insurance. Also, we had a 3.08 decrease in the non-certified staff retirement rate, which is $130,000 savings for the year. And continuing with the expenditure assumptions, we are entering into the phase two agreement of ESG with the city. So we did add that $350,000 annual payment to begin in FY22. With the implementation last year of our compensation study and plan, the district is striving to support salaries that are competitive with districts throughout the region and the state. Our employee compensation plan consists of a step increase for eligible employees plus a 1% COLA for all staff. This gives us an overview of the COLA increases over the last 5 years, which averaged 2.2% when you take all 5 years. And to the right is a breakdown of the average annual step increase for the major categories of employees that we have. So you can see that some could receive with the 1%, 2.5%, 3.5%, 4% increase, depending on where they are on their actual salary schedule. The 22 proposed staffing changes. The general fund, we're looking at a net of 4.3 positions, and with federal funds, most all of that being stimulus, a total of 9 new positions. Looking at what this step increase and a 1% COLA means in dollars, an experienced step for all eligible staff is $553,000. A 1% salary increase is $444,000, with the total being just under $1 million. The BEP funding that we received for the 4% instructional component is $432,000. So you can see that is 43% of the cost of a step and 1% COLA. The district is responsible for the other 57%. When we look at the BEP funding, it's a formula only, and the 4% doesn't equal 4%. For balancing the budget in FY22, we are proposing to use $1.6 million from fund balance. And an overview of our fund balance, we did know we would be adding to our fund balance in FY20 because of the spending freeze, and again in 21 because of the additional ESSER funding. So our 20 actual fund balance was 15.42% of our budgeted expenditures. We're projecting that 21 we will end at 16.07%. Then using our $1.6 million will end at 13.43%. Fund balances are not a permanent solution, but they can be used to deal with short-term shortfalls. An overview of the fund balance currently, where we are in FY21. You can see where we are up through March, and our projected fund balance at June 30th just is 9.8 million. And our projected fund balance beginning at 9.8 million, and you can see as it goes through each month, ending at 8.2 million in June of 22. And fund balance is comparable to cash flow. And that is some of the necessity of maintaining a fund balance. And as you can see, this chart is a good representation of the district's cash flow month by month as we go through the year. And this is our projection for 22. The gold on the chart is our actual revenues per month, and the copper or red color is the expenditures. You can see as we go through September, October, November, our fund balance or cash gets down to about $2 million. Our monthly expenditures are average $6 million per month, and our payroll and benefits is $4.6 million each month. So it is required and necessary. The last slide that we have, again, deals with the fund balance necessity, and this year is even more important. As we look at the amount that we are not having to spend in the general fund, we know that in the next couple of years, we're going to have to purchase additional student devices, textbooks, some of the things that ESSER is picking up now. Those were one-time reductions. And then also this year, another factor is that state and federal grants are reimbursement basis. And this year, with the millions of dollars in federal grants that we get, we pay for those with the general fund and then get reimbursed from the state. And that can be 30, 60, 90 days lag time. And that is everything that I have. Unless someone has questions, I am going to pass it over to Mr. Lay to start with his slides.
All right, thank you and good evening. Response actions to year of COVID. As we've all said many times, this year looked a little bit different. We have spent a lot of money this year basically responding to COVID to make sure our students and staff were safe. And as you've looked at our numbers throughout the year, we've been successful, but we did do activities such as creating barriers, transparent barriers that were putting countertops to protect our clerical staff from people coming to the office. We had sanitation stations to wash our hands. We were basically disinfecting surfaces that are basically used constantly, PPE, personal protection equipment. We purchased all of those materials. We had specific requests from individual schools that we put into place once again to promote student and staff safety. And of course, we provided our COVID vaccine clinic. Several months ago, we had already exceeded the $200,000 mark as far as basically supporting these activities. So once again, just a reminder, some years look different, and we just have to take different steps and spend funds. Our capital projects and funding. The school district, with approval from the City of Oak Ridge, has agreed to a proposed energy services project by ESG. And we are extremely excited about this. And this, once again, is a step going forward for our buildings. Also, the school district and the City of Oak Ridge have developed a roofing replacement plan. Is continuing to work throughout most critical needs for both organizations. Sometimes that doesn't feel extremely important on paper, but I do remember a day last year at Willowbrook, and it was a day of heavy rain, and there were very few classrooms that did not have buckets and trash cans catching the water. And I remember one young lady boasted about how well they were doing on catching the water in the buckets and the trash cans. I would say that they probably, a lot of their attention that was not going towards learning was going towards capturing the water. Okay. The school district has also completed a updated facility study. We realize that our city is growing. We realize that we have tremendous potential for an increase in enrollment, and we just want to make sure that we are prepared for all those activities and we're doing work up front so that we're not caught off guard. This is your CIP historical investment, just a view. And once again, I would just say we're always appreciative of anything the city can do to help us in the area of CIP. But if you look at the history from 2006 to present, you can see that basically we were giving more funding, and it were basically on an average $600,000. And then we went to 2017 and we received no CIP funds. We started going back to $200,000, of course, in 2018. And as I looked at this earlier today, I just had the thought, $600,000 was a lot more money in 2006 than it is now. I just look at our HVAC systems. We're constantly replacing. We have used the term for so many years, we replace on failure. And we would just once again reiterate that the more help we can get in CIP and also with ESG, we can get away from basically replacing on failure and keep our buildings in the shape that they should be in. Future possibilities for CIP funding. We are talking and working towards a new SAB building. We realize we need to leave this current facility. The repair and replacement of the Oak Ridge High School Ben Martin track. Mm-hmm. We just realized that our track is beyond its useful life. It's my understanding that we have schools that do not want to come here to participate in our larger meets, which basically removes that opportunity from our students because of the current state of our facility. Either new school or additions to current schools. And once again, we realize that our student population is growing and that we have some adjustments to do. And at some point, that will probably result in either new buildings or additional facilities or add-ons. Schedule replacement of district HVAC equipment. And once again, it would be great to be in a situation where we just basically, we were keeping track of our equipment, which we are, and we know when they are near or at the point of their useful life and replace those before failure. It is difficult for administration and for teachers and students to function when you have a section or a wing of a building that doesn't have heat or air, and we have experienced that once again this year. And it's been even further complicated due to trying to get parts during COVID. Then improvements to district ADA access, parking lots and driveways, and we all know that asphalt and concrete has become much more expensive than what it was in the past. Roofing updates. Wow. And once again, this is encouraging. The city and school district roof evaluation was completed by Roof Connect in 2018. As a result of that, we now have a new roof at Robertsville Middle School, at Willowbrook Elementary, and once again, they are now spending more time engaging in what we would call positive instructional activities rather than capturing water. After the rain we had late yesterday, once again, if we had not replaced the roofs in these two facilities, our custodians would have been called in yesterday or would have spent the morning cleaning up messes prior to students' arrival. This summer, we have Glenwood, SCA, and portions of Oak Ridge High School that will be replaced. And once again, just another positive step. So we're appreciative of the city for making that a reality. CIP city contribution for FY21. We were provided $200,000 this year for capital improvement projects. And of course, we used those funds in many ways. First of all, we had multiple cranes. We did replace all the HVAC systems on top of Willowbrook, and we had to rent a crane to basically take off the old equipment and put the new equipment up there. And of course, you can see once again, we replaced the units at Willowbrook. There was custom ductwork and replacement of gas piping that was also required at Willowbrook. Just really under the direction of Mr. Thacker, we just decided to do Willowbrook the right way, and we basically took care of a lot of issues while we had the opportunity. And unfortunately, we had some issues with the cooling towers at Robertsville and the high school due to a deep freeze when we had our cold spell. One involved basically the freeze protection system not working properly. The other one was because the freeze protection equipment was not hooked up as it should have been during the renovation. So once again, that's where most of our CIP funds went for this school year. ESG update. Phase two, energy service project is under the way. And I'll just tell you, everyone in this room is excited about what Robertsville is going to look at. And to keep it short, I'll just say this. I just look forward to the day where the outside of that building reflects what is happening inside the building. And that has not been the case. If you just look at that end of the building that you view when you're going down Illinois, it does not speak well when we consistently say we are a school system of excellence. The outside of that building does not reflect that. So anyway, so this is going to be exciting. Not only will the outside look nicer and have a great facade, we're looking at better lighting, better air quality, new windows, and it's just going to look really nice. The other things we will do in phase two, basically we will upgrade and retrofit the lighting at the Oak Ridge High School in Woodland to LED lights. We'll be replacing 10 rooftop units at Oak Ridge High School, upgrade the Oak Ridge High School water source heat pump piping system, and renovate the hydronic pumping system for geothermal wet field, add redundant heating and pumping system for Oak Ridge High School. We have been so fortunate at the high school, we have no redundancy. If a single pump goes out, if a single unit goes out, then basically we just have an uncomfortable learning environment. So we're going to replace that. We're going to replace the Linden boiler, which is way overdue, 12 rooftop packages units at Woodland, replace the obsolete air handlers at Robertsville and Jefferson. Those are the original air handlers in those cases in those buildings. And once again, they have greatly outlived their life expectancy. Install ionization equipment on 600 HVAC units for air purification. And once again, as we continue to fight sickness, that will help us. Install new plumbing fixtures at all schools for water savings. Install new windows at JMS and RMS. That in itself is going to save a lot of energy. Upgrade controls and sensors for better operations. Provide district-wide asset inventory for HVAC equipment. And the beauty of all the phase two is, once again, it will pay for itself in energy savings. The RMS exterior renovation, more good information. Once again, this is what you will see when you drive up Illinois. Replace windows and tie wall panels for EFFIS and new windows. Repair the brick and concrete construction elements, seal and paint the exterior, and basically just upgrade the Illinois Avenue view. And once again, we had a parent on the superintendent's PTO advisory committee a few years ago, and the person was a great person, supports Oak Ridge Schools, love Oak Ridge Schools, but they stated if they had seen the outside of Robertsville Middle School before they purchased their home, they would not have purchased a home in the Robertsville neighborhood. And when I hear that from a supporter, you think, wow, that's how important it is that our schools look great. So we're excited about this. Okay, Dr. Borchers, are there any questions? Thank you.
All right, thank you, Mr. Lay. Mrs. Smith, just real quickly, I know the board has already approved ESSER 3.0 expenditures, but I thought for this presentation it'd be helpful just to keep it all in one place because I know people will have questions about that. And again, there was really three different buckets that they wanted us to look at. The learning loss, obviously, interventions and respond to students' social, emotional, academic needs, and then disproportionate impact on COVID-19 on underrepresented student groups. So the next two slides give the buckets that we looked at. I won't read through all these, but the areas we're looking at are areas in the curriculum, professional development, technology, which we'll be very happy to update, and then air quality, our summer intercession programming, and then the staffing slide that you saw from Ms. Smith. So looking forward to using those funds to move our Portrait of a Graduate forward and feel like we have a great plan to do so. And then finally, our last slide tonight is our next budget process steps. So we're having this meeting tonight, and Mr. Phil Auer, as you said, we come back on Wednesday at 5:30 in a board work session to review a lot of this information, and Ms. Smith and I will be heading over to the City Council meeting for the budget amendment first reading at 7 o'clock. So at this time, I'll turn it back to you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Ms. Smith, Mr. Lane, Dr. Borchers. These are not questions, just comments. As we move forward, and I know you all, in pulling all this together, have dealt with this, and we've talked about it in our board meetings, I think it will be important that we keep a close eye on our enrollment projections, because I think we're going to see some changes as people become more comfortable, and particularly when they find out what the Oak Ridge schools are doing and how we're going to be going about doing it. So that may have some impact, it may not, but that's something I think it could change. I think it's going to be important as we continue in these budget sessions and as information is disseminated, it can be difficult to understand our salary increases this year because they are different than normal because of what we're trying to do to get equality and balance in our salaries across the board. We're going to have to do a really good job of communicating how this works, why it works this way, because it's not going to be as we normally do to say, well, all teaching staff gets X percent raise, because it's not going to be that way this year. So I think that's important as a board that we communicate that as we go forward. It's also going to be important that with the use of the ESSER funds, that the public understands that we are bound in the ways that we have to use those funds. We can't take those funds and just arbitrarily use them for something we think would be nice to do. And we have to respond to the usage of those funds when they are used. So I think that's something important for the board. And once again, I'm excited to see that the state has fully funded the BEP. And Ben, that's a joke. I'm not serious about that. So those are just things I think we really need to pay particular attention to as we move forward and make sure we do a good job of communicating this information to the public. Anyone else at this time? Any other final comments, Dr. Borchers?
I would just like to just thank my executive directors, Mr. Lay, Dr. Williams, Mr. Bradburn, and Ms. Smith. There's we really haven't stopped doing budget since this all started, and it's been a year full of opportunities budget-wise to navigate this, but we feel we've put together a good plan going forward, knowing that these ESSER funds will not be here forever, and there will be some cliffs, not caused by us, but there'll be some cliffs out there in the years ahead. But I think we have a good path going forward.
And we too, as a board, appreciate all the effort and the time that it's put in. This can be one of the most difficult things for the board to deal with. And I will have to say over the last several years, because of the hard work that has gone on preliminarily pulling this together, it has not been as difficult as it has in the past. And the board greatly appreciates that as well. So thank each of you for being here. We will see all of you again Wednesday at 5:30. We stand adjourned.